Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, May 17th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, NBA Draft Lottery Fever. Catch it. It's rigged. Dominique Hawkins has plenty of options. Duke basketball offers up a job that everybody should apply for. The Reds lose on Tuesday night to the Cubs. Tom Brady's wife, supermodel Giselle, tells us something we all pretty much knew already. And we pick another Major League Baseball underdog tonight, looking for a winning week. So let's go.
You are listening live.
The NBA! The Golden State Warriors defeated the Spurs last night by 36 points. It was so bad that the announcers were talking about brownies for dessert. That's called filler material in the business. Just trying to keep anybody they can tuned to the television set. The only noteworthy things about this game was that Warriors interim coach Mike Brown was pulled over following the Spurs caravan before the game, and Greg Popovich pointed and laughed at Mike Brown as he was pulled over. And of course, during the game, LaMarcus Aldridge tried the same little closeout, put your foot under the jump shooter trick to Kevin Durant that Zaza Pachulia did to Kawhi Leonard, basically ruining the Spurs' chances of winning a couple of games in this series. Otherwise, it's the same old song. Warriors and Cavs on a collision course in the finals. Lather, rinse, repeat. Game one of that Cavs-Celtics series tonight in Boston. Cavs a 4.5-point favorite. Apparently, since the Cavs seemingly haven't played since Valentine's Day, they've been using something called the Versa Climber, which was an exercise device originating in the 80s. And people like LeBron James, Lady Gaga uses this. Apparently, that's how LeBron gets his sculpted body with no help from PEDs, allegedly, by using this device. It's been said that that's all he uses to work out. Hey, to each their own. Go out and buy some VersaClimber stock today. The Dow's already down 200 points. You might want to get it now. But of course, the big news of the NBA on Tuesday night, the NBA Draft Lottery, which on television was portrayed exactly how we saw it happening on our last show. If you looked at those last three teams, Boston, the Lakers, and Philly, and you didn't think this was rigged, then you don't get the NBA. You've got the Whitey from Boston, of course. Then you've got Magic, Showtime, and the Lakers just smiling and laughing, but on the inside, the guts and the mentality of a natural-born killer, and Joel Embiid not knowing what the heck was going on. And if you saw some of those internet memes with Joel Embiid last night, he literally had no clue what was going on, and you could tell by the blank expression on his face. So of course, the rigged lottery goes to Boston in what might go down as the best trade in the history of the NBA, well, at least from Boston's standpoint, trading an aging Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett to the Nets for their first round draft picks this year, next year, and apparently some Magic beads as well. Garnett and Pierce both now retired, and now Boston gets the number one draft pick. The Lakers will get Lonzo Ball, as they wanted in the first place, and of course, teams now lining up to get the troubled D'Angelo Russell, who hasn't been the same since he went on social media last year and was telling the world about how Swaggy P was cheating on his then-girlfriend. A huge guy code error. So the lottery sets up to help the Celtics and the Lakers. Oh my goodness, I'm shocked. You honestly thought that the Lakers were going to lose out in this lottery? No chance. The league desperately wants the Celtics and the Lakers back in the limelight again. And they've got the Celtics back there. They just want super teams again. Because believe me, Cleveland's going to fall off soon. LeBron can't play forever. He's 32 years old with a ton of mileage. And in fact, Joel Embiid last night said that the Sixers are going to get enough great players. They're going to eventually take LeBron and the Cavaliers down. Well, somebody's going to take them down soon because LeBron can't play forever. And if you want to play the trust the process card, the Sixers were so psyched about the lottery last night, they lifted a banner saying trust the process over embattled and fired general manager Sam Hinkie, a guy who, in my opinion, years from now, should be the one credited with getting the Sixers back on top. But he won't be, because he did things differently. Heaven forbid you don't follow everybody else. So the lottery went just as we thought it would. The Lakers and Celtics get back on top. Lonzo Ball goes to the Lakers. all is well with the world. But then again, this lottery means a lot. Even Mark Cuban came out this morning and said, hey, our team, the Dallas Mavericks, tanked every game we could after we were eliminated for the playoffs to try to get a better draft spot. My opinion is, why not? If you're already out of the playoffs, why not tank? Just another NBA draft lottery, and I hope you caught the pearls of wisdom left by Mark Jones on that draft coverage, which ran the theme of exactly what we said he was going to say yesterday. Oh, and by the way, the female reporter, using that term very loosely at the draft, referred to De'Aaron Fox as Darren Fox. My thing is this. If you've already had 100-something layoffs a couple of weeks ago, and you've still got a job with ESPN, how can you not go to a gig prepared? It's not Darren Fox. It's De'Aaron Fox. Do your homework. Do you know what a privilege it is to have a job like that, and you piss it away by mispronouncing the name of one of the best players in America? That's terrible. Her name is Cassidy Hubbard, and how she still has a job and some of the people that got fired at ESPN a few weeks back don't have a job is beyond me. If you're given a gig weeks in advance, at least know the names of the people you're going to interview. That's all I've got to say.
You know, I want to give a shout out to Ernie, to what's the coach in Houston?
Rick Allenby, man.
Okay, okay.
Wait, the first part of giving a shout out is knowing the person that you're shouting out.
More NBA. The Wizards lost earlier this week in a career-defining game from John Wall, who once again came up way short in an elimination game. You could go all the way back to his days at Kentucky when they played West Virginia to go to the Final Four, and he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Then again, nobody else from Kentucky could hit a shot that day either against that ferocious West Virginia's 1-3-1 zone, but I digress. He was quoted yesterday saying, man, I wish I would have played better in that Game 7 against the Celtics. That's probably not the best thing to say. I wish I would have played better. How about I should have played better? How about I'm sorry I was horrible? How about I can't believe I missed 10 of the last 11 shots that I put up? How about anything other than, man, I wish I would have played better. Man, I wish I wouldn't have bet so much money on the wrong horse at the Derby, too. But you can't go back, can you?
It's a little matter we need to talk about.
Yeah, money, right? Well, forget it.
No, not money. Gray's Sports Almanac.
Speaking of the Derby, the Preakness will be this Saturday. Post positions will be drawn later today, Wednesday. Almost Dreaming, the winner of the Derby, is now a 4-5 favorite to win this race. You want a bottom line type wager on this? If you can find anywhere on the internet, and I know you can, taking Almost Dreaming or the field, take the field. And by the way, I saw a stat the other day. Don't try to play an exacta with the horses that finished 1-2 of the Derby. That hasn't happened since 1981. There you go. There's your Derby gambling tips for the weekend. Bet against a Triple Crown winner, and don't bet the same exacta that came 1-2 of the Derby. Money in the bank.
Bet you $1 million UCLA wins it 19-17.
What are you, deaf? Old man, he just said it was over. You lost.
Here comes Decker with a kick. Field goal. UCLA wins 19-17.
Other news. The city of Paintsville, Kentucky put up a new road sign yesterday, and I commented on this on Twitter on Monday. They put up a new road sign celebrating their high school athletes over the years. They celebrated Mr. Basketballs, they celebrated Mr. Footballs, and they celebrated their state championships in football and basketball. My thing is this, are there people in Paintsville who maybe had success in things other than playing a silly little game when they were 16 and 17 years old? Do you think those people might be a little more important than high school kids? When you're in these small towns in Kentucky, and believe me, growing up in Richmond, I know all about growing up in a small town and how high school sports are horribly overvalued. But to put up a road sign as you're entering town, celebrating athletic teams and athletic players from when they were 16 and 17 years old, that's one of the saddest things I've ever seen. You're basically telling your own little town there that if you don't accomplish something in high school, you probably never will. Because I'm sure there are people from Paintsville, Kentucky, who have gone on in the world and done things with their lives. Maybe they've become doctors. Maybe they've done anything in the world to help the world out, other than bouncing a ball and running around on a big field trying to knock the crap out of people. So to have a road sign celebrating that Cash Daniel won the 2015 Kentucky Mr. Football, that's great. But what about these other people? And that's what's sad about life here, and in a lot of small towns in this country, not just Paintsville. We celebrate and we worship the wrong people. Because to celebrate a kid for something he did when he was 17 years old, you're basically saying, once you're 21 in this town, your life is over. It's all downhill from here. That's the mentality you get in small towns. I don't have a problem with celebrating high school sports accomplishments, as long as you celebrate people who have actually gone out into the world and done something important as well. Because these kids, as much as I hate to say it, haven't done anything but proven that they are good high school football or basketball player. Big deal.
Very nice. Thank you very much. Now, why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
More local news. Hey, Dominique Hawkins, who should be absolutely rich now from his recent autograph tour. Dude should be like throwing $20 bills in the fireplace. I'm sure he was getting a ton of money on those autograph tours a while back. Now has options. He's out in Los Angeles working out to become a professional basketball player. Now, we all know he's not going to be in the NBA, but obviously he could go play overseas. But apparently there's some NFL teams that are inquiring about him to play professional football. In which I would say, why don't you pass on that? Dude, you can play basketball for a decade overseas. Why would you want to go to the NFL? Because believe me, Antonio Gates played college basketball, then went to the NFL. Jimmy Graham played college basketball, then went to the NFL. Tony Gonzalez played both college football and basketball and played for a long time in the NFL. Those are three Hall of Fame potential tight ends. What do all those guys have in common? They're all about 6'6 or taller. Dominique Hawkins was much shorter than these guys. So to see Dominique Hawkins as a tight end, yeah, I don't see it. And what other position are you going to put him at? Just go play basketball, Dominique. Football, sadly for you, is not your sport.
See Biff's humble beginnings and how a trip to the racetrack on his 21st birthday made him a millionaire overnight. Share in the excitement of a fabulous winning streak that earned him the nickname the luckiest man on earth.
If you're an SEC coach and you have gone 13-24 in your first 3 years on the job, what do you expect? To be fired or to sign an extension? Well, if you're Derek Mason at Vanderbilt, you just got yourself a 3-year extension. What does that tell you? That at any other school in the SEC, if you win 13 games out of 24, I doubt you're signing a 3-year extension. Wait a minute. What was Mark Stoops' record in his first 3 years at Kentucky? 12-24? Wow. Derek Mason was 13-24. Mark Stoops signed an extension. So did Derek Mason. That just shows you where Kentucky and Vandy are on the SEC hierarchy in terms of football. Because if any other coach in the SEC started 13-24, they would have been fired before they completed their third season. Then again, something tells me Derek Mason also didn't get a $12 million buyout like Stoops had if he had been fired last year. Just saying.
You take the fun out of beating you because you have an excuse to lose.
Get a life, dude.
Do you think it's possible that your mom won't love you anymore if she sees how bad you're losing in the game?
Shut up!
Sports fans, do I have a job for you. How would you like to work in college athletics, be around an elite college basketball team, while at the same time, and even provide strategies that will improve the overall performance of the athletic program? Well, boy, do I have the job for you. According to DukeandDeadspin.com, you can now apply for a job with Duke University Athletics, in which you will be assisting in operations and facility management with the athletic facilities, game operations, and something called a championships assistant, whatever that is. The essential functions are you will act as the primary game day manager or secondary manager for sports appointed by the assistant director of athletics. It is a full-time job for 11 months starting in July. You'll work 9-5 every single day. And according to the Post, this position provides a unique opportunity to gain hands-on experience in the daily operations of a Division I athletic department, both in-season and in off-season. What's the one catch of this job, though? The position is unpaid. So let me get this straight. You're going to go to Duke. You're going to work for 11 months. You're going to work full-time, 9-5. You're going to do all those things. You're going to assist in event operations, facility management, special event operations, and adhere to the additional needs of the athletic facilities, game operations, and championships department. You're going to do all those things full-time. And it even says you're going to work closely, using that term very loosely, with both internal and external constituents, as well as the Duke University coaching staffs and spectators. Now, how much do you think you get paid for all this? 11 months, full-time job. The position is unpaid. Really, Duke? Really? You're not going to pay one dime for somebody who does all this crappy work for you for 11 months? By the way, the Duke Athletic Program, their budget is over $91 million. And man, they are painting this job out to be something great. And something tells me, although the Post says that you will be working with Duke University coaching staffs, something tells me you won't be helping Coach K with the game plan when it's Duke versus North Carolina in basketball. Just saying. So, any of you out there interested in working with the Duke Athletic Department, this is your opportunity. 11 months, full-time job. Only catch? You're probably going to go broke in the process. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is Duke thinking they're above everybody else. But I'll promise you this, if UK put this same job posting up, they'd have a million people from Big Blue Nation signing up for it. They're all like, hey, I don't have to get paid. I get to go to UK basketball games. That's all I need. Taking advantage of the desperate. It's what the rich has done to the poor for centuries, and it keeps on going.
Stay tuned for all the excitement of the world champion Cincinnati Reds. Reds Radio is produced solely by the broadcast department of the Cincinnati Reds Incorporated.
Major League Baseball started out yesterday with all the media pundits saying, what's wrong with the Cubs? Well, all that's gone today. Reds now have lost four in a row. You see Bronson Arroyo trotting out to the mound for the Reds, and the wind is blowing out to center field at 20 miles an hour? Yeah, that's not a recipe for success for the Reds. And Arroyo gave up 5 runs in 5 innings. ERA now 6.31. How is he still going out there to the mound every fifth day? I don't know. Mainly because the Reds can't find a third, fourth, and fifth starting pitcher. And the one they did find, Amir Garrett, got sent to the minor leagues because they're trying to save his arm. There you go. Bottom line whipping boy Zach Cozart and bottom line hero Joey Votto, both 2 hits, both had a home run. Votto now has a 9-game hitting streak, only 47 short of Joe DiMaggio. The win was Joe Maddon's 1,000th as a manager, and after the game, he showed up at the press conference drinking a glass of wine. Well, congratulations on that. So the Reds, who are now 0-4 after a 9-2 stretch to start the month, game 2 of the series tonight. Scott Feldman for the Reds, 3.59 ERA. Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs, 3.40. Scott Feldman should be a fan favorite at Wrigley Field in Chicago because in 2013, he was traded by the Cubs alone to the Baltimore Orioles for Jake Arrieta and Pedro Strop. Jake Arrieta, 2015 Cy Young winner. Pedro Strop, key member of the Cubs bullpen even today. Scott Feldman has played on 4 teams since that trade. Let's just say the Cubs won that trade hands down. Tale of two pitchers right here, Feldman and Kyle Hendricks. Hendricks led the National League in ERA last year. Started out slowly this year, but he's come on recently. Last 3 games, 2.04 ERA, including pitching very well at Colorado last week, where everybody struggles. Feldman, his last 3 games, 4.05, but you have to remember one of those 3 games was a complete game shutout against the Giants. So he hasn't been all that either. As decent as Feldman has been, and I do stress the word decent, the Reds have lost 6 of his 8 starts on the season, but Kyle Hendricks at home, a very tough proposition. Last year, Kyle Hendricks at home, 9-2 with a 1.34 ERA. That's very, very good. Then again, Joey Votto against Kyle Hendricks' lifetime, 7 out of 11. And Zach Cozart hit a home run for the 4th straight game last night at Wrigley Field, making him the first player to do that at Wrigley since Albert Pujols in 2007, back when Albert Pujols was actually a game changer. Instead of somebody, you just have to look at the box score and see how he's doing out in Anaheim now. Cubs minus 170 tonight. The value here is with the Reds, but just like last night, I can't look at this starting pitcher matchup and feel good about taking the Reds whatsoever. Hendricks is the hotter pitcher and the better pitcher with a proven run of dominance at home. I'll stay away, but it's the Reds or no one, and of course, may the winners be yours.
You know, one of the best things about being an ex-big leaguer is getting freebies to the game. Call the front office, bingo. And once these fans recognize me, I probably won't even have to pay for my life here from Miller.
Down the track!
I love them. Good seats, huh?
You're in the wrong shape, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row.
Come on.
Good seats, hey, buddy? He missed the tag!
Couple other Major League Baseball notes. The Braves' Freddie Freeman hit his 14th home run of the season last night. Is there a more untalked about superstar in Major League Baseball than Freddie Freeman? I don't know who it is, but this guy's close. He's now tied with Aaron Judge for the Major League lead. Eric Thames, who seemingly hit 100 home runs against the Reds in April, still stuck on 13, and he's not playing right now because he has strep throat. Who gets strep throat in May if you're a Major League Baseball player? Or is it a side effect of PEDs? Sorry, but I'm not saying what a lot of people haven't already said. We talk about Edwin Diaz of the Mariners, the quote-unquote closer for the Mariners, walking four consecutive batters on Monday night. Tuesday afternoon, it came out, he's no longer the closer. Wow, 1-2 with a 5.28 ERA. That gets you demoted from closer, huh? Okay. So, another save opportunity last night for the Mariners. Can't go back to Diaz. You've already announced he's not the closer anymore. Here comes Steve Cishek. He's got 120 career saves. Oh, now we've got a guy who can close games. Well, a 5-4 game immediately becomes a 9-5 game as Cishek gives up 5 runs and his ERA is now 40.50. Wow, I kind of like the pitcher who had an ERA of 5, not 40.5. But if you're the Mariners, who cares anyway? You've got $77 million right now on the disabled list. Can't get much worse. Or can it? LaTroy Hawkins was a pitcher in Major League Baseball for 21 years. And he retired at the end of last season. He pitched for 11 teams, and he pitched in 1,042 games. This after starting his career as a starter. Now 43 years old, what's he going to do? He's trying to get a job as an announcer. So now he's sitting in the Minnesota Twins booth in his first game yesterday. And of course, like most former athletes, they don't want to burn bridges, right? They still know all these players. They don't want to upset anybody. So the first few innings, he's just making very general statements, just annoying listeners. And then all of a sudden, maybe somebody gets in his ear, or maybe he thinks to himself, man, I better say something or else they won't have me back. And then I won't have a job. And then he was talking about bad guys in the locker room. And Hawkins, on his own, brought up the name Tommy Canley, who he was a former teammate with when he was with the Rockies. And Hawkins called Canley one of the worst teammates ever and in the history of professional sports. And went on to say, it's one of the worst teammates he's ever had in his life. And of course, the old stodgy play-by-play guy. Oh, you don't really mean that, do you? Oh, I'm going to give you a chance to backtrack here. Those are harsh words. But LaTroy Hawkins meant what he said. He said, man, I've played for 21 years and 11 teams. I've had a lot of teammates. And he's the worst. Of course, when these two guys got in a fight, Hawkins was 41 and Canley was 24. So you had a little bit of a generation gap there. But props to LaTroy Hawkins for actually coming out and saying how he feels instead of playing the company line and just saying everybody's great and patting everybody on the back, although inside his guts are churning because he's lying his tail off. Finally, somebody who's honest. And let's just face it, Canley now plays for the White Sox. And the White Sox and the Twins are in the same division and will be playing many times this year. Let's just hope that the Twins allow LaTroy Hawkins to be in the booth for those games. But something tells me that both the Twins and Major League Baseball won't let that happen. I wonder why. NFL. We can't have distractions in the league. Why did Michael Sam not work out when he was drafted a few years back? Oh, he's gay. He's a distraction. Oh, why did Colin Kaepernick? Why is he not working out? Why is he not on a team right now? Oh, he's a distraction. Well, add Tom Brady to the list of distractions as his wife Giselle came out this morning and told everybody that Tom Brady has had multiple concussions in his career, including one last season, but that they, quote unquote, are not allowed to talk about it. Well, way to go, Giselle. You just talked about it. Of all the people involved with the Patriots to spew out their mouth, it had to be the supermodel wife of the star quarterback. How do you think Bill Belichick feels about this right about now? You can give me the we're on to Cincinnati company line all you want. We know you're pissed, coach. You ever get the sense that it's not going to end well for Tom Brady in New England? Especially for the fact that the other day he literally said he was going to play until he's 45? Yeah, that ain't happening. He might go to some loser team and play till he's 45, but Belichick will not have him till he's 45. Because he's of the inkling of getting rid of players a year early instead of a year late.
Now, I see some elements of Red Rover with a little bit of Spud mixed in. And is anyone ever going to blow a raspberry on the quarterback's belly?
No, Stewie, that never happens.
Down goes Brady. And it looks like Williams is pulling up his shirt and having a little fun with his tummy.
Look, he's doing it.
Speaking of the Patriots, former New England running back LeGarrette Blount has a new home. He's with the Eagles now, who apparently are willing now to part ways with the oft-injured Ryan Matthews. And when I say oft-injured, this guy's been in the league 7 years. And although he's got over 5,200 yards rushing, he also has only two of those 7 years in which he started more than 9 games in a season. So oft injured definitely applies to Ryan Matthews, who's now going to be cut, apparently, for LeGarrette Blount, who had over 1,100 yards rushing last year and a league-high 18 touchdowns. And if you drafted him in your fantasy football league, A, you got him at a very cheap price, and B, you probably finished very high in the league because of LeGarrette Blount. But LeGarrette Blount with the Eagles, now at 31 years old, not exactly the kind of guy I look for in a fantasy draft to carry my team to victory. But I'd rather have him than Ryan Matthews, because at least I know LeGarrette Blount will show up most weeks. Ryan Matthews, it's a coin flip.
Commitment to excellence, the motto of the Raiders, and once again fulfill that commitment in a Super Bowl.
We talked about Mark Cuban earlier in the show, discussing how his Mavericks basketball team tanked games once they were out of the playoffs. Didn't help them much in the lottery last night. He also says that the Raiders and the NFL will regret moving to Las Vegas. I'm really interested to see how this plays out, because the Las Vegas Raiders have every opportunity to now become a legendary franchise. But Mark Cuban, more often than not, is absolutely right about these business ventures. We'll see how it works. My thing is, why didn't an NBA team move there first? Why did a Major League Baseball team move there first? Why did it have to be the NFL, the sport most associated with gambling over all other sports? We'll see.
The Raiders again scaled the heights of football greatness and stood alone on the summit. A team of young men filled with promise and old veterans filled with pride.
More Raiders news. David Carr, very upset at his Raiders team because they won't give him a big money contract. He's still on his rookie deal. And let's just face it, he's earned a big money contract. Did you see the Raiders in the playoffs last year? Once he got injured? Yeah, they were a train wreck. Jim Plunkett in his prime was the only thing that could have saved the Raiders. But no, Derek Carr wants money. And to be honest, he's earned it. And to think, just 3 years ago, the Cleveland Browns took Johnny Manziel in the first round, while Derek Carr went in the second round. Revisionist history at its finest.
This was our finest hour. This was the finest hour in the history of the Oakland Raiders. And take pride and be proud. Your commitment to excellence and your will to win will endure forever. You were magnificent.
Other news. Twitter reported today that they have had 1.1 million viewers to WNBA games on their website. That can't be right. There aren't 1.1 million people in America that even know the WNBA exists. You know what this is? They have the little pop-up ads on the side of the screen, and if it starts playing, it counts as a view. There can be no other explanation for a million people watching the NBA, because I can promise you, there's not a million people that even know what the WNBA is, much less watch it on Twitter.
You ain't changed a bit, Lola. You're just a big loud mouth, likes to stir stuff up. Shut up, woman.
More sports TV news. The ESPN radio morning show Mike and Mike will be dissolving after almost 2 decades later this year. And they talked about it for the very first time, although they said it's been in the works for a year and a half. They talked about it for the first time this morning. And they talked about it for just a couple of minutes. Mike Greenberg said he was very thankful for the opportunity, said it was the best opportunity in his life. Mike Golic sounded extremely bitter, almost like a guy who knew that he had been riding the coattails of somebody else for years. Because let's just face facts. Mike Golic on the radio, not exactly appointment listening on your radio, if you know what I mean. But, hey, good news. Mike Golic's son, Mike Golic Jr., is now going to be a part of that show, along with Trey Wingo. I'm not saying Mike Golic Jr. doesn't have talent, but let's just put it like this. Do you think he'd be at ESPN in his mid-20s with a primo spot on the radio if his dad wasn't Mike Golic? It's all about who you are in life. And if that doesn't prove it to you, nothing will.
What it is you're too... No, I started to say you're two-faced, but if you were, you wouldn't be wearing that one.
There's going to be a movie come out later this year detailing the Battle of the Sexes tennis match between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs. Now, this happened in the 70s, back when the sexist movement was happening. But I've seen a trailer for it. Emma Stone is Billie Jean King, and Stephen Carell, a.k.a. Michael Scott, is Bobby Riggs. And I'm going to be honest, these two have played those roles to the max. They are perfect in these roles from the trailer I've seen. So if you were alive during the 70s, a little bit before my time, but believe me, this was a huge deal back in the 70s. Great movie coming out. I highly advise you to go watch this trailer on YouTube. Battle of the Sexes with Emma Stone and Steve Carell. Two Academy Award winners. However, there is no truth to the rumor that Dwight Schrute will be a part of this movie. Although he should.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash. Cold. That's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver! Yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, back down to Stogie time. We took one on the chin last night big, going against the best team in baseball. But tonight, we'll go back out to Los Angeles, California. The Chicago White Sox, 17-20, face the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 21-21. Miguel Gonzalez for the Sox, 3.83. Matt Shoemaker for the Angels, 4.50. Angels a -160, so they're a big favorite going into this one. The White Sox have been awful lately, and the Angels have actually been on the upswing. Mike Trout, we detailed yesterday, simply the best player in baseball. And in the first two games of this series, the Angels won both of them. But bottom line favorite Tim Anderson, the shortstop for the Sox, came back after missing the last four games. He was 2-for-4 last night with a home run. Tale of two pitchers, Gonzalez for the Sox, 6 career starts against the Angels, 3-2, 3.20 ERA. Matt Shoemaker career against the Sox, 1-2, 4.15. Good news for the White Sox, Cody Ashy, not to be confused with Ashy Larry, and his 105 batting average with one home run on the season in 20 games, finally sent back to the minors. Because God knows, they can't send him anywhere else. The White Sox had this game last night, but closer David Robertson of the Sox blew the save. He won't blow that save tonight. I'm getting the better starting pitcher, and addition by subtraction, Cody Ashy is out of the lineup. Give us the Sox getting +150. Might get better than that by game time. Give us the White Sox as a big dog against the Angels tonight in Anaheim, and make sure to light that stogie up as David Robertson trots in from the bullpen tonight to make good on what he couldn't make good on last night. White Sox over Angels. You're back daddy's stogie of the night, and you can take that one to the desert and smoke it.
Come on, and give you the real grit on the inside. Stop this great character with the chains around his neck and the gruff voice. He's a real gambler from Las Vegas. It's like the devil himself is bringing you this.
And that does it for the Wednesday, May 17th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.